Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Dennis Prout is an investment advisor representative with Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
Alrighty, welcome aboard to another episode of New Retirement Radio. Every Thursday, right after the 10 o'clock news, we go on live with Prout Financial Design, and we do the replay Saturdays at 9. And joining us now from Prout Financial Design, the man who has the same last name as the company, what a coincidence, Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner. How does that work?
And it seemed appropriate at the time.
Shay Pataja is here, the CEX, Chief Executive.
Oh, my gosh.
In charge of client experience.
I love you, Ron Jolly. I'm just going to say that.
CEICEO, Chief Executive in charge of client experience.
I'm in charge of everything.
In charge, there we go.
In charge of everything. How do you make that in one?
I see. In charge.
I do miss the way you used to say my name.
Stuff dreams are made of.
Pataja.
Well, for those who happen to be listening for financial information.
We'll get to it.
This is Financial Planning Radio here. And it is Thursday, July 19th, 2018, and an incredible summer so far. So much to talk about today. We're talking about an article from Kiplinger. How to avoid being robbed blind after you die.
<It's> so dramatic.
I love the title. I mean, you know, you can do so much with that. And it reminds me of the old Walter Matthau movie, Dennis the Menace. What are these, you know, children are out playing in the forest and they're on their way to the fort. And there's this very bad guy and they come back down, and she looks inside of her baby carriage for her baby, and it's not there. There's something missing, and she looks up. I've been robbed. Anyway, that's what it reminded me of. So how to avoid being robbed blind after you die. Quite a few points in here, about four of them, that we'll hit in some detail to help those of you who might be concerned about that, given that your situation gets more and more complex. It's the 401k. It's the real estate. It's the farm. It's this, that, the other thing, the home.
The family cottage. The blended families.
The blended families. They're trying to put families together to do something together they might not have been able to do on their own through maybe a trust. It's amazing what you can do. And it's amazing what can make those plans come undone.
The more you have, the more you have to worry about.
Yes. It does create more complexity and require more thinking and sometimes money to make it happen. So the first point.
So there's four of them. There's four best
practices.
There's four of
them. When you're looking at the advisor, are there checks and balances with that advisor? Do they have a corporate structure within their firm? And my right hand up again, we have the same thing. We have a corporate structure, people that we report to. In fact, the last 2 weeks, interviews, analysis, people coming into our office to take a look at our books, all of our transactions that we do. They're reviewing us. We're being reviewed. Is your advisor being reviewed by another group that oversees them? Are they overseen? And then do they have administrative support to help with the details? Yeah, I need a check. Do you have someone to talk to other than the advisor? You know? And where are your statements coming from? Oh, come on. You know, really? Where? What do you mean, where do my statements? Where do your statements come from? Why is that important? We'll just think Bernie Madoff. Where were his clients getting their statements? From Bernie.
From Bernie.
Wrong dude, man.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Sorry, he gets a bit serious. Well, that is serious, obviously. So where do those statements come from? Does it come from TD Ameritrade, Fidelity, et cetera, et cetera? Do you recognize the firm's names? Okay. And then within the structure of that firm, are there other people who can take over if your person gets taken out by the bus? Sorry for all those who've been taken out by a bus. Nothing personal, really.
If you're taken out by a bus,
yes.
Heidi?
Yes,
Heidi. Time?
And others within the firm, within the corporate structure,
yeah.
may need to step in for a while as well. Yes.
Okay.
But we also have a structure for those people to take over should something happen. Okay. Apparently, my attorney's on the phone.
Let's
I'm teasing.
See who's there?
Of course.
Maybe it is. If his name is Jim in Traverse City. Hello, Jim.
Nope, no attorney here.
Okay.
I have a question about that 8% increase in the Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
How does that affect survivor benefits if one spouse dies? Is that still transferred over?
It does. Assuming it's you that has the bigger benefit. She would then get your increased benefit. So there is a death benefit locked into Social Security if she outlives you, which of course she will. Okay. And you make a great point. So is that your question? Will she get that increased benefit should I die first? Is that your question, Jim?
Jim is gone. I guess you answered his question.
All right. There and gone.
Off. To
may
the races.
Have been, somewhere in northern Michigan where the, you know, I lost the cell service. So.
I'll have to get some fresh cherries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The harvest is on.
It is. And oh my gosh, is it good, eh?
Mm. Sweet stuff. So what number are you on now? There's 4 points here. So is your advisor being overseen by another body?
Yes.
Do you have administrative support, or is it just your lonely old advisor doing everything there?
And what's their structure?
What's their structure there?
Who are the oversight? And great questions to ask. Yes. Where will my statement come from? And are you producing additional statements, and will I still get the others from the company that holds the assets? Where are the assets held, given that I ever decide to have a relationship with you? All right. So next point. Be careful when selecting trustees for trusts. Trusts are valuable tools that allow you to maximize tax planning opportunities, possibly, within your estate plan, spell out specifically how you want to distribute your assets. So Janie's too young. She's only 16. She can't take a lump sum. Maybe a possible reason to have a trust. Where John is 31, always been overly responsible. My gosh, I mean, he's Mr. Fix-It when it comes to money. Very careful. I'm pleased to make certain that he gets a lump sum. You see where the family dynamics can move that. And ensure that your vision for your legacy is carried out faithfully. So there may be some other components of that in there.
Okay, so are trusts for the ultra-wealthy? Who are they for?
They're for people with complexity.
Okay.
And or additional needs that can't be addressed with a regular estate plan, generally.
Okay.
Now, obviously, I'm not an estate planning attorney, and he or she may have some additional points that they might add to that.
So you sit with your attorney to do this, but then you run it through.
With your attorney as well as your financial advisor. It's checks and balances again.
Mm-hmm.
Because not all the attorneys know the tax issues that can arise from distributing this money through a trust. And not all financial advisors understand all the legal implications that can arise. So having a team on that, you're generally going to be tend to be better served by having two parties to that soiree.
A trust acts like another person.
It does.
In the family, like a neutral party in the family.
It can be a neutral party depending on who the trustees are. If you've named that same son, John, who's the most responsible, as one of the successor trustees, that may be a good thing or a bad thing. depending on whether or not he has the capability. Well, he lives in Seattle, Washington. You're in Michigan. That may not work so well. So geographic issues can come into play there in terms of who are the trustees. Well, darn, you know, he's always been the closest in terms of emotions, but there you go. We may need a corporate trust in that situation. A corporate trustee, excuse me, not a corporate trust, a corporate trustee who oversees this and overlooks this in terms of a legal entity that makes certain that the trust's legal language is followed to satisfy generally the children that we're speaking about. When you both, as parents, have passed away, they're making certain that the things that the trust has said need to happen actually occur. And it then can remove those same children, John in this example, from having to be the heavy mm-hmm. in this thing. So the corporate trustee can be a huge benefit. A corporate trustee then can, in effect, carry out the trust for you versus the children and all those relationships that go back and forth with the children. Well, why are you doing that? You know, you can see that sure. all the time. The questioning, the second guessing may help be helpful in removing that, given a corporate trust entity to oversee the trust itself.
And this is usually communicated way ahead of time, right? So most people know there's a trust involved with their mm-hmm. family.
Now, if that corporate trustee is also serving as your investment advisor, that's where a huge number of vulnerabilities can creep in. It may be perfectly legal, and I'm reading directly from the article here, but having one institution provide both services, financial advice as well as trust administration, can create a considerable conflict of interest.
Got it.
Because they may be self-serving in directing you and or that those children toward their own investment advice or advisories or products. So having groups that can oversee each other, mm-hmm. there's the checks and balance and balances
accountability
can be significant.
Okay.
Because sometimes these numbers are not small. They can go into the millions of dollars when we're talking about these. Well, who's got millions? Well, remember the life insurance benefits that you have, the life insurance face amount enters into the estate, the 401k, the IRAs, the cottage, all of a sudden it can add up.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 10 million. All right.
Got it.
A corporate trustee should not necessarily be ruled out. The corporate trustee can be a very good thing as someone to oversee, even with those questions. Is this self-serving or is it a good relationship? So be aware of the corporate trustee and their interests. And also, are they simply overseeing it along with your financial advisor, which is generally what's recommended, or are they overseeing both sides of that coin? That's where their self-serving interest may not serve your own.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the Inspector General has warned the public about Social Security, SSA, impersonation schemes. Social Security employees occasionally contact citizens by telephone for customer service purposes. In only a few limited situations, usually already known to the citizen, an SSA employee may request the citizen confirm personal information over the phone. If a person receives a suspicious call from someone alleging to be from the Social Security Administration, citizens should report that information to the OIG, Office of Information something,
Inspector.
At 1-800-269-0271. So they're continuing to warn citizens to be cautious and to avoid providing information such as your Social Security number or bank account numbers to unknown persons over the phone or internet unless you are certain of who is receiving it. I wouldn't do that anyway.
Mm-mm.
I wouldn't care if I was certain of who was calling.
Also, it seems like the calls, the spam calls, it's like every hour there's everyone I talk to is like, are you getting a lot of, fake calls? Yes, I am.
The professor put on his Facebook page that he had a call from a fellow who said, "Hi, Grandpa." And the professor knew it was a scam. And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "I just got in a car accident. I really need your help." And he said, "Are you hurt?" And he said, "Yes, I'm hurt and I need help." And the professor said, "I'll pray for you," and hung up. But a lot of people responded and said, "Yeah, we had the same calls." And somebody had a relative who was taken advantage of by that. Thought they had a long-lost nephew or grandson and sent money.
It stretches the imagination to unbelievable limits, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That they would actually be that low.
Mm-hmm.
But beware, obviously. Man, we have a call.
Let's go to East Jordan. Bob is on the line for Dennis Prout. Good morning, Bob.
Yeah, good morning. I'm so lonely. I enjoy spam and scam calls. Several years ago, I was getting a lot of them, and so I called Verizon and complained, and they said, "Oh, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do about those." So I called my state representative, it was McMaster at the time, and they said, "Oh, nothing we can do about those." I called the Attorney General and the Public Service Commission, same thing. So I told these scammers, I said, "I got a new phone number," and I gave him McMaster's number down the in Manistee, rather. And now they started calling them. Well, the kid there knew me so well from all my complaints that he called me up and asked me to quit giving that number out. And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do about
that." Ah, jeez.
I cut my calls down. And now they think they're passing a law trying to control these guys. So I think other people have figured that out, too. So just give out your state representative's phone number to these crooks.
That's awesome.
And they'll leave you alone for a while.
Turn in the tables.
You bet.
All right. Bob, thank you for the call in East Jordan there.
That's great. Yeah.
So we had addressed this earlier in some respects, but number three, make sure assets are held with a reputable third-party custodian and never directly with the financial advisor, as in Bernie Madoff. So the reputable third-party custodian, again, TD Ameritrade, Fidelity, you'll recognize the name, of course. So most fraudulent scenarios occur when too much trust is placed in one unethical person. Make certain, again, that you're having appropriate accountability measures within your accounts. Where are those statements being generated from? And are you receiving them on some kind of a consistent basis from that firm? Review those statements when you get them in the mail. The simple stuff often was what it's all about. Did you water the flowers this morning? Yeah. Well, it's the simple stuff that makes all the difference in this.
How long would you advise one keep those statements? Monthly, quarterly statements?
Keep the year-end statements because usually all your tax reporting information is included on the year-end.
Okay.
And you can shred the others as the end of the year statements arrive. So those are generally going to include all the detail of the previous year. And again, keep your year-end, but all of those are available through the appropriate custodian for a number of years after the fact. And we've had to do that. It's interesting. If we have to go back 10 years to a statement that showed some sort of detail, we can do that through most custodians and or their administrators.
Mm-hmm.
But once in a while, we have to do that. Number four, and probably most importantly, review estate planning documents often. Well, Dennis, you talk about this all the time. I mean, how many times can we talk about beneficiaries? Well, think about this. Here's an additional point that's not been made before. If Ron had an IRA named primary beneficiary, of course, his lovely wife, as he's referred to her, Laura,
mm-hmm.
and also then named contingent beneficiaries, what if Laura received that account? Well, she receives it because Ron has been taken out by the boss in this case. So easy for me to say, I know. But she could theoretically say, if the contingent beneficiary is named, I want to disclaim a portion of that account because the contingent, I want him or her to receive a portion of those funds now rather than later. That's a partial disclaimer. incredible in its power because you've named primary and contingent beneficiaries. It's amazing just because that's done. We had a phone call with a 401k administrator a few days ago, found out there was not a primary or contingent beneficiary on the account. We did that over the phone. The client will get that confirmation. But those are incredibly important. Now, under ERISA rules, it would not have been a problem within this particular situation, except, you know, they've got to go through all the hassle of getting that corrected after the fact. And who wants to do that when the worst happens? Obviously, everyone goes down that road. So because you've named primary and secondary or primary and contingent, how powerful is that? To IRAs, 401ks, life insurance, annuities, all of those travel by beneficiary.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes,